Again, good morning, and may God's peace and love be with you always. Amen. We are drawing near the conclusion of our Lenten season. Next Sunday, it's gone fast, will already be our Passion and Palm Sunday. And 2 weeks from today, we will celebrate this premier Sunday of the Christian calendar, Easter. It is interesting that today, with the Holy Week and Easter so near at hand, we have one of the longest ablectionary lessons, 45 verses from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. The same text that we read this past Wednesday night, if you happen to be at the Lenten service with the dramatic reading, that was Lazarus. Now, for the preacher or teacher, this scripture passage has material enough for several Sundays that we could preach on different sections. Nevertheless, it tells just one extended story. Ordinarily, the Gospels pack any number of healings, parables, or conversations into a lesson as long as this one. But here, this morning, we have just one incident in several parts. And before we get back to the Gospel reading that I just read for you this morning, let me share with you this story. Now, Susan and Fran were talking one day. Susan mentioned the death that had happened in the family of a woman that they both knew. When Fran expressed surprise about this news, Susan said, "Oh, I thought you knew that since you and she are such close friends." But Fran said, "No, we're friendly, but not close friends. We've laughed together, but we've never cried together. But now that you told me what's happened to her, I feel for her now." Now, if you have ever tried to figure out what to say or how to say it when someone close to you is experiencing grief, then you can relate probably to Fran's reply. Our human instinct is often to try to fix the problem. So we say, and not intentionally, but can sometimes say empty, pointless things like, "It's God's will," which probably at that time wasn't that helpful. Or you might have heard, "He's in a better place." Now, maybe and maybe not, but that grieving person still misses their loved one. Sometimes people just need someone to cry with them, to know that their sorrow moves you because you truly care about them. Now, nobody knows how to fix that kind of loss, and it's okay to say or to say nothing, just to be with the present with that grieving person. And I know firsthand that experience, because I remember my first time after being youth minister for many years, and then getting this opportunity back in 2017 to be the Sam all that Salo First Lutheran Church. Brett usually did a lot of the stuff. I did more pulpit supply. But Brett was gone in Florida, and one of the members, family members, their daughter from Hawaii, passed away. So they wanted me to do my first funeral. And I remember that was the one thing that I wasn't looking forward to. Of all the different things that I can do, just like ordained pastor, I started thinking, what do I say to someone that is grieving? I want to make sure that I say the right words. So I called up my pastor friend from the cities, and he told me, as I'm talking to him on the phone, he said, very simple, "Jay, a lot of times there's no words that can express someone's grief, but you point them to God, and you sit, and you be there in present with them, just like God will be with them." And I'll never forget that. And so I wanted to add that today in this preaching, because there's a lot to unpack in our gospel passage this morning, isn't there? But we're going to pull out just two main points that I want you to take with you today. So that we're going to just focus on two main points. And the first one is the most important things that we can take from this passage is the need for us to be compassionate in the way that Jesus was compassionate. And the second is that we can live well because of the hope that we find in Jesus. So, let's first look at that compassion by looking back at verses 33 through 35 of our gospel text, where we see clearly that Jesus was moved by the grief of his friends. When Jesus saw Mary weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, Jesus was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus began to weep. Now we live in a world in which crying is sometimes seen as a weakness. And weakness is not to be tolerated. But even Jesus wept. And just as if it had happened yesterday, right here in this place, there were two kinds of onlookers in this Bible text this morning. The first onlookers said, "Ah, see how Jesus loved him." They themselves were moved by the love that Jesus had for Lazarus and for his sisters and the others in the community who were all grieving together. But the second kind of onlookers said, "Isn't he the guy who is supposed to be a miracle worker? Why didn't he save this person he supposedly loved so much?" Now, most of us can probably think of people who fit in these two types. Those who can accept the nature of others, and those who expect everyone around them to behave in a certain way. That, friends, is why some people, unfortunately, are so stoic. Just when we have felt moved by something or someone, our training since childhood, and maybe not so much today, tells us to step back and tough it up, doesn't it? Now, if you were really like probably a teenager or a child in the 80s, 70s or 80s, I don't know about you, but I was one of those men that were raised by my dad to believe that big boys don't cry. Now, I don't know if some of you were taught that when you're a kid. I know it was that way when I was a boy, and there's even songs in the 80s. One of the songs, Rob, you probably know this, you're a DJ, "Big Boys Don't Cry" by the rock band Extreme back in the 80s. And there are also other bands in that era that wrote similar songs. And women, doesn't it seem, especially back in the day and a little in today's world, that you're allowed a little more emotion in our society, but there is certainly a line that should not be crossed, isn't there? And you might ask, why is that? Why are we supposed to keep our emotions in check when this scripture clearly shows us this morning that Jesus was willing, even in the face of blatant skepticism, to show his emotions and didn't care who saw him? And be honest. Have you ever thought concerning someone who has grieved for a very long time, and again, not intentionally, that maybe you thought it was time for he or she to maybe start trying to move on? Have you ever thought that kind of grief belies our faith? If you really believed your love was won safe with Jesus, you wouldn't be so deeply grieved. Now, you may have heard people say these unpleasant things to each other, or more often about each other, and I just don't think it's right. You see, next time you think about someone in grief, think about the compassion that Jesus had for his grieving friends. Think about the fact that he was the one person in that situation who knew what was about to happen, and he still wept. I think we can all learn from this text this morning. You see, we are so used to asking ourselves what Jesus would do when we are faced with a moral dilemma. But when we are deciding how to react to potentially emotional situation, we still revert to what our ancestors said was just societal protocol. But Jesus knew. He knew what was going to happen. He knew there was no reason to weep for Lazarus himself, but Jesus still allowed himself to be moved with compassion to the point of the flowing of tears for those who were hurting, and he did not care who saw him do it. Jesus proves that real people, men and women, shed tears. Be more like Jesus. Show your emotions and be compassionate, no matter who is watching you. And now we have hope because of Jesus. So let's look at that second point from our story today. as this is where there is always hope when you know Jesus. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus responded by saying, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Then Jesus went to the tomb where his friend Lazarus lay buried, asked for the stone to be removed, and called Lazarus out of death, out of the stench of a body that had been dead for 4 days. And Lazarus rose. As you and I live with our griefs, our hurt, and our pain, Jesus says the same thing to us that God said so long ago in Psalm 46:10, one of my favorite scripture verses, and I read and quote, "Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth." You see, this story about Lazarus is the story of compassion and of hope. A story that says, out of despair comes hope for those who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. All of us face discouragement in life, don't we? And at those times, we too need to turn to the Lord, knowing that we can trust that He will make a way for us. Now, theologian Ruhlhal tells a story about when he was 15 years old. You see, his family's home caught fire, and they escaped with only the clothes on their back. Where they lived, out in the country, there were no close neighbors to help. So he and his father had to walk a distant village to get supplies. As they returned, Hull saw something that had stayed with him for many years. Beside that charred remains of what had been their home, his mother had put a lunch on a log. And on that log, she placed a tin can filled with wild flowers. It was a symbol of hope following the tragedy. Isn't this what our Christian life is all about? Howell's mother didn't try to cover up the disaster with the flowers, but during that gloomy scene, she had placed a symbol of hope. Martha had that kind of hope that did not cover up the fact that her brother had died. But even in her grief, she held on to the hope that Jesus would act. You see, hope does not cover up what has already occurred, but it gives a promise of something better to come. Hope doesn't eradicate the fact that our loved one is no longer with us physically here, but it gives us the beauty of knowing there is more than just this life here on earth. And Martha told Jesus, "But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Martha had hope. She did not know exactly what Jesus had planned, but she knew him well enough to know that something would happen. My hope for all of you is that you know Jesus well enough to trust him, that no matter what happens to you, Jesus will make something good happen. You see, the story about Lazarus is a glimpse of what was to come, a foreshadowing of the resurrection of Jesus. And in that is the hope of resurrection for us all. We know that the cross on which Jesus died is nothing short of a torture device. But to us now, it is a tin can filled with wild flowers. The symbol of the cross does not cover up what had happened, but it serves now to remind us that there is truly hope. The Jesus who had cried with his grieving friends had so much compassion for us that he died on that cross so that we would have that same hope he knew for his beloved friend, Lazarus. This story of the raising of Lazarus gives us hope for the future. Jesus weeps for Lazarus, showing us that he understands the human condition of sorrow and of grief. But Jesus also raises up Lazarus, and he will raise us out of whatever pains us in this life because of the compassion that Jesus gives us of that ultimate hope of eternal life. To God be the glory. Amen.